Imagine spending millions of dollars to treat drinking water and like 40% of it just leaks right back into the dirt.
Yeah, before it even reaches a single tap.
Exactly. Add in these heavily armed construction mafias violently shutting down building sites, and you start to understand why South Africa's national infrastructure is currently staring down a catastrophic degrade. Welcome to your custom tailored deep dive.
Right, and today our mission is unpacking a pretty radical master plan designed to pull an entire region out of this crisis, the Western Cape Infrastructure Strategy 2050.
It is a massive blueprint.
It really is. I mean, we are looking at a masterclass in how a region attempts to future-proof itself for the next 30 years against, well, some of the most complex cascading challenges modern governments face.
Because to reverse a degrade reality like that, you can't just slap down some fresh asphalt and hope for the best, right?
No, definitely not.
So the Western Cape government structured this massive three-layered approach. It's kind of like building a house. First, there's the WCIF 2050, which is the macro-level framework, like the architect's grand vision.
Right, the big picture.
Yeah. Then you have the WCIS 2050, the strategic bridge narrowing that vision into five focus areas. Think of that as the project manager strategy.
Uh-huh.
And finally, the WCIIP 2050, which is the immediate five-year pipeline of actual projects, basically the actual pouring of the concrete.
And that tiered structure is so crucial because it moves the region away from what has essentially been reactive maintenance.
Like waiting for the grid to fail before scrambling to patch it.
Exactly. This framework forces a shift toward infrastructure-led growth. The goal isn't just to keep the lights on, you know. It's to design systems that actively stimulate the economy while building in ecological and social resilience from day one.
Okay, let's pause on that idea of ecological resilience.
Yeah.
Because this strategy radically redefines infrastructure as a complex adaptive system.
It does, yeah.
They're classifying natural assets, like wetlands that regulate water, as ecological infrastructure. And honestly, I have to challenge this a bit.
Go for it.
Well, ecological infrastructure sounds fantastic in a boardroom, but when you are trying to lay down a four-lane highway, asphalt is just asphalt.
Does this philosophy actually change the engineering, or is it just like a new coat of green PR paint?
No, it fundamentally alters the engineering. Think of traditional infrastructure like a row of dominoes.
Okay.
If the power grid fails, water treatment plants shut down, sanitation fails, and the whole system just collapses.
Total multi-system failure.
Right. But this new adaptive system model forces planners to treat infrastructure more like a mycelial network in a forest.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So if one node gets blocked or knocked offline, the system needs to be designed to route resources around it. You just can't do that if you look at a highway in isolation.
That actually explains the strategy's push to replace standard public hearings with what they call communities of practice.
Yes, exactly. Because when you turn on your tap during a blackout, you are experiencing that multi-system failure firsthand. It sounds like they are trying to stop treating the public as just a regulatory checkbox.
Precisely. Because, I mean, a traditional public hearing is usually just a presentation of a decision that's already been made.
Right.
But a community of practice actively embeds marginalized groups into the design phase. Youth, the elderly, people with disabilities.
So they aren't just getting feedback.
No, they are mapping the local vulnerabilities. It prevents the incredibly expensive mistake of building a multi-million dollar transit hub that the local community literally cannot safely use.
But wait, designing a highly resilient community-driven network introduces a massive new problem. Who pays for it? The timeline spans 30 years.
Yeah, and traditional funding models aren't built to sustain that kind of long-term complexity.
So the governance model had to change.
Right.
The strategy establishes an infrastructure war room that brings together academic experts and private sector leaders. But more importantly, it takes a hard, critical look at traditional public-private partnerships, or PPPs.
Because the classic flaw with PPPs is that the risks are often socialized.
Exactly.
The public sector takes the hit if things go wrong, while the profits are entirely privatized. If the public sector is the safety net and the private sector is the profit engine, how do they actually share the steering wheel under this new strategy without crashing?
It all comes down to a much stricter enforcement of value for money. And this is evaluated across what the strategy calls the six capitals.
Right. Six capitals?
Yeah. So when they evaluate a private bid for a new water plant, for instance, They don't just look at the financial cost. They literally calculate the natural capital.
Like how many gallons of river water this project will consume versus preserve.
Exactly that. And the human capital generated for the local workforce. Private investment only gets the green light if the data proves it serves the public good, not just a quick financial return. That fundamentally rewrites the math on what makes a project valuable. The WCIS 2050 isn't just about South Africa. It's a fascinating test case for how any modern society might future-proof itself against climate and economic shocks through integrated planning.
It really is. And it leaves you with a fascinating question to mull over.
Yeah, if we truly start viewing natural ecosystems and community trust as infrastructure, weighing them on the exact same scale as power grids and bridges,
how might that radically reshape the layout of the very street you live on right now?